Okay.
Swags is fishing.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 210. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and the spaceman himself. This week, we're going to finally talk about some of these rookie quarterbacks we know you've all been waiting for. We're going to go over all of the rookies that are in the top 10 overall, skim over the top 12 for this week. We don't care about them. You'll have to wait for next week for that. And then, to spice things up, I'm bringing some Rookie Fever trivia. I'm going to throw in throughout the show. I've got three questions ready for these guys. We'll see how they do. This is the first time they're hearing about it. That's the joy of this game for me. How in the hell are you guys?
Oh, I'm
doing
pretty
good. Episode 210.
Yeah, 210, baby. Woo, Spaceman just woke up.
No, that gets the engines revving. 210 episodes of Rookie Talk. Sign me up, baby.
Yeah. And just now throwing trivia in. Come on now.
I want more than three. You better come up with a fourth one.
You know, I've got five ready to go.
Nice.
I could, fire them at you. But I didn't, you know, I'd kind of like, maybe I should save some for next week and add to the lists, you know. But I've got five ready to go.
Let's see how we're doing on time.
We could really play this game. So, we're going to talk about quarterbacks, tease that a little bit. What's Justin Fields look like starting this season? And he's been named the starter, R-O-S,
finally.
Not F-M-O, R-O-S. Are you fear of missing out on Justin Fields?
That's one of the trivia questions, Dave.
That is not. You know what we'll do? Like, when you hear this... It's time. Laser fire trivia. Rookie Fever trivia. When you hear that, we're doing it.
I effing love that.
Just whenever the heck I want.
Oh, I like that even more.
Set blasters a stun.
Yeah, very excited about Fields starting rest of season. Tired of like waiting week to week to find out who's starting when we all know who should be starting. Very excited about Fields starting rest of season.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the clown show to be over with. Like Nagy, no. Dalton, 2 days ago, Dalton's still our quarterback. Like, we all knew what had to happen, and I'm sorry. Maybe Fields isn't ready. Maybe Nagy doesn't feel like Fields is ready. I'm sorry, but it's what's best for this organization to get Fields his reps, get him some game action, and get this offense designed around Fields, which is what we need to see. None of this, you know, get the bootlegs working, get the RPOs going with Fields. None of this vanilla Nagy baloney doing his best freaking succubus in Adam Gase impersonation. Let's go, baby. Come on. Let's scheme up Justin Fields and set him up to succeed, which if he's not doing it, it's just going to get Nagy out the door quicker, which is, I think, what he's afraid is going to happen. And the sooner the better, because we want Justin Fields. It's time to take off, baby.
The play calling did get a little better. It got a little better this week.
Now, and Dave, I'm not saying that Justin Fields is a finished product or that he's not ready. But guys, let's just say... What if he just got through his internship? Let's just say that. And now he's got the job. And I think that there becomes like, there's also like a mental aspect to that, to where I think he'll get more comfortable playing his game, playing his style, not worrying so much about the media and just whether or not he's going to have the job. I mean, he's got a tough place to play in Chicago as far as like pleasing the fans. But I think that getting this out of the way, I think that it'll be a breath of fresh air for him mentally. And I think that we might see him be a little bit more comfortable.
Speaking of comfortable, you know who he's comfortable with? It seems like it already has a bromance with Mr. Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how are you guys feeling about Darnell Mooney moving forward? And then that wasn't a laser. And then is this going to help Allen Robinson too?
I don't know. All I know is I wasn't going to talk a lick about Darnell Mooney until I got that rookie rewind and we hit it up. And I love it. Multiple weeks over 20% target share for Mooney, who still seems very acquirable despite this, because that offense has looked poor. But he's been a must. He's been a target in Dynasty. He's been a target because he hasn't taken off, but the usage, the peripheral numbers were there. It's exciting time because Justin Fields, people want to talk about he's not ready. He has one of the better deep balls in this class. That's one of his strengths. Absolutely. And that is what Mooney, who actually has a little bit lower ADOT this year than last year, which I don't necessarily hate because that's, you know, easier to convert targets and what have you. But remember, Mooney's strength is pushing the ball down the field. So I think it helps. And then Allen Robinson, I don't know. They need to get the overall passing volume up for me to get really excited about Allen Robinson. How do you only have four targets, I think it was, against Detroit? That is just I know you're a Detroit guy, but that, come on, that's pitiful against Detroit. And that passing, like that's a fireable offense, let alone giving Allen Robinson only four targets. So yeah, overall, I'm very excited. I guess I'm just excited to talk rookies tonight with you guys because I'm pumped about everything.
Yeah, I hear you. I would say trade Allen Robinson to Detroit, as I've wanted forever, but I don't know. It's crazy, man. I don't quite understand it. Who would have thought that Allen Robinson would be better with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles? But I don't know. That's not why we're here. So what are your expectations for Justin Fields moving forward at this point? Like, is he a QB1? Can he make it into that area?
With the legs, yes. Yeah. Rest of season.
And with that said, with David Montgomery out, how much do we actually see Justin Fields running the ball this week?
Yeah, I'm excited. I was excited about Justin Fields to be the QB1 of this class for 2021. And, you know, obviously we need to talk about the week before last where it was really, really scary. We had we didn't have a statistical experience that we all liked in the first week that we saw Fields on the field. But this is what we expected. This is kind of what I expect to grow throughout the season. Everyone's talking about this young man and how he's taken on the offense and how he, if schemed correctly, like Spaceman had pointed out, can really, really thrive even in this offense with this coach. I think if we just use him to his abilities, like we always like to say, I think we could see some really great things. And, you know, we'll talk about the rest of these quarterbacks I'm excited about as well later.
One rush attempt in week one where he wasn't playing, but 10 rush attempts in week two, then 3 and 3. What's going on? Get those rush attempts up. That is a part of his game. It loosens up the overall defense. It keeps the defense honest in the RPO. There's a lot that goes well when Justin Fields, who's one of the best rushing quarterbacks in this, like it's Trey Lance, Justin Fields, neck and neck is when you talk about rushing. It is use that to your it's been not used enough. You talk about better play calling, 3 for 9 from Justin Fields as far as rushing is not where I need those 7, 8, 9 attempts a game if I'm calling things for this offense, because that's how you loosen everything up.
Yeah, and even if you don't see the play, you know, break one off. We might see that more without David Montgomery and see him get more and more comfortable. So, yeah, I think we're all excited about Justin Fields. It's hard to predict what will happen with how this offense has been so far. But let's break into that top 10 a little bit. Just in time. So cheesy. So that it's rookie fever trivia time. So first question is...
Wait, Dave's busting out a spreadsheet. Put it away.
Dave look
put at it
me.
Away.
Look
as
me.
If it wasn't
look
already out.
Me. Put like, it away.
So which monitor look should I look at? Should I look at the look monitor? At
me
the stats,
where's your camera? Sheet, I can you show me your eyes in your camera. Okay.
I won't. Hey, right I won't there. Look out. I won't look away.
Right there. How many rookies have been in the top 12 each of the 4 weeks of 2021? Look at me, Dave.
When you say top 12, do you mean
our top 12
fan? Our top
12. Our rookie top 12.
Well, there have been 12 rookies in our top 12 each week.
How many have made it each week?
I'm going to say Finero looking 6. Me. My number's 6.
Dave, Finero's saying 6. Do you agree?
Would you like to go lower or higher? I'll go 4.
So the correct number is 5.
Son of a bitch.
Price is Right's rules, baby.
Yeah, and those 5 are Javonte Williams, Jamar Harris. Chase, Najee Harris,
Gainwell,
Kyle Pitts, and Kenneth Gainwell. You got it. Yep, those five. So you guys are pretty close, right in between. You split it, and we made it. You made it as a team. You guys nailed that as a team.
Yeah, our average was right on. Yep.
Yep.
Or is that the mean?
No, it's that's the same. The mean and that's the same thing.
It's FMO.
No joking around here, Finero, when it comes to stats. It's a serious business.
Let's break into this top 10 a little bit. Number 10, barely squeezing in, Eliza Mitchell. And I say barely because really a lot of this was off 1 week. But yeah. Elijah Mitchell, running back 47, 33.7 points, 36 carries, 146 yards, one touchdown, two receptions, two targets for 11 yards. How are we feeling on this Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon situation moving forward?
Well, we're going to get to see it, I think. I don't think there's enough running backs on the squad left, and unless they want to pull Patrick out of the hat again. I think we're going to see Sermon and Elijah Mitchell and see how San Francisco plans to use them both. My prediction, 40-40.
40-40?
Yeah.
Who gets 40, the other 20?
40%. It'll be Juice Check and Patrick. Or? It'll be Kyle Juice Check. I mean, if Lance plays, then I think both these guys suffer a little bit. We'll talk about Lance later, but as much as I'm excited about Lance, I think he's
But sometimes, man, like remember like Michael Vick and Shady McCoy, RG3 and Alfred Morris. Sometimes
backs, yes.
Like if
I
you
agree.
Do it right, like we want Chicago to, it sometimes opens up that run game and makes it a little easier on your running backs too.
What I saw from Lance was he was looking for his first read. If that wasn't there, he ran. And that doesn't help a running back.
Sure.
Sorry, I got lost in the old spreadsheet here. I just noticed there is a perfect mirror, a butterfly of each other. The wings are like first week, Elijah Mitchell, 79% opportunity share. Then last week, 79% opportunity share for Trey Sermon. And then 51%, 52% in the between weeks. Really, it seems whoever gets that role is getting the value. And it really feels like a coin flip here. How's it going? Because their peripheral numbers are both good. They both are breaking tackles. They're both are making big runs. It's interesting here. Yards after contact are going a little bit more to Elijah Mitchell, so he's creating a little bit more of his production than Trey Sermon. But they're not a ton. It's kind of striking how similar the production has been. So it's tough for me to find. Maybe I'll lean Elijah Mitchell just because he got the first shot over Trey Sermon. But what was really weird is that I was in a DLF mock doing their October mock drafts for their ADP. I took Elijah Mitchell over Miles Gaskin. I feel kind of gross weird. About it. I feel gross about it because I
that's
love
weird
Miles
for
Gaskin.
You. Yeah, that Miles Gaskin's been an incredibly huge disappointment. It's too bad.
And it's the receiving upside that still comes along with Elijah Mitchell that is exciting. And to be honest, you haven't seen it much. You actually haven't seen many targets for either one of these running backs yet.
Dave, let's go back to that DLF mock there. Yeah. You said you took Mitchell over Gaskins. Where did Trey Sermon go before your Mitchell? Or was Trey Sermon an option there?
I'm pretty sure he – I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he went before me.
So if you guys have both of those players and you have to trade me one of them, which one are you keeping? You get the same amount back anyway. Let's just say you have to drop one of them to make room. Who are you keeping? Dynasty. Finero?
Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah.
Sermon. I'm going to follow the draft capital.
What about you, Dave?
I'll probably go Elijah Mitchell just because I liked him more and I just want my take to be right.
Don't we all want to be right?
So you want your take to either be right or wrong a little
or
bit.
Or I'll go down with the ship. Yep. Yeah. And I know you like... I want you to be happy too, and I know you love yourself some Trey Sermon. So
yeah, if I was to split this for the show's sake, I would take Trey Sermon as well. And for me, part of it is just thinking that Trey Sermon is just starting to show what we're going to see in that offense. It feels like just from what Shanahan has said, he likes what he's seen, but he still has higher expectations for him. It makes me think that Shanahan is telling us we haven't seen the last of him. And I don't hear him quite saying that about Elijah Mitchell. So to me, it's Trey Sermon. I would be really happy with Trey Sermon on the cheap right now on a team that may need a running back. Maybe you lost David Montgomery. Mixon for the week. Maybe you look at Trey Sermon, even in a redraft format, instead of going to get like Damian Williams or somebody like that. Maybe you look to those guys instead.
Yeah, I have Trey Sermon in a redraft that I just lost Montgomery in Zach's scenario that you just said. So it's nice to see what happens this week for sure.
Definitely.
And I know we're a broken record here on Rookie Fever, but I know people were very disappointed when Trey Sermon was supposedly a healthy scratch week one. But hey, it's week four. It only took 4 weeks for this rookie to start having an impact on fantasy squads. And that's what we have to remember. Our expectations need to be adjusted correctly. And then just to answer your question, Swags, Sermon in a one QB went 7-11, and I got at like the mid-ninth for Elijah Mitchell. So okay. I got a 2-round discount.
It's pretty close to the same area. But yeah, for you, that is a nice discount. For you.
Yeah.
Just you.
For somebody that wants to be wrong a little bit longer, that's pretty good discount.
I love it. Hey, I my brand is being wrong, so I like it.
Number 9, Michael Carter, running back 42, 38.35 points, 37 carries, 127 yards, one touchdown, six receptions, 11 targets, 44 yards. You guys excited about Michael Carter at all, Dave? Start with you.
Yeah, we talked about, I think it was last week, how we started to see him round into form, getting a little bit more usage. He has now turned into the prime, like the lead out of this committee, still getting a lot of value. Vulture by, I always get his name mixed up, but it's not Trenton Cannon, it's Ty Johnson.
Ty Johnson, yeah.
And Tevin Coleman. They're still vulturing some of the value here, but he's the leader so far, and it only took this long to get there. I'm curious how that develops more because, you know, Tevin Coleman, how long can he, what happens if he goes down? Does that jump even more for Michael Carter? And I think people need to realize Carter, what he does is he doesn't give any, your offense away. You can rush or pass with Carter on the field compared to the other running backs in this backfield. So, and as Zach Wilson showed a little progress last week, gets better, hopefully better things to come for this Jets offense overall.
Finero, do you think Michael Carter is the long-term answer for the Jets?
I love that you said that because I like Michael Carter this year. He's up 25% in snap share, starting at 25%. So he's just over that 51% threshold. And I think that continues. I do. I don't think Ty Johnson or Tevin Coleman are long for the roles that they're playing right now. I do think that Carter could be that starting back that fantasy gamers want him to be. I don't think, however, that Carter is a long-term answer. I think he could have a Kerryon Johnson type. And I know Kerryon, a lot of that was injury, but for me, Michael Carter's not shown me enough through 4 weeks to make me feel like he isn't replaceable in the next year or two in the draft.
I don't hate that take at all. So, I mean, maybe again, and I don't want to be, again, broken record, but maybe you do approach like the Mixon or Montgomery owners if you're in a situation where you're not utilizing Michael Carter or you don't quite feel great about your teams right now and you do take advantage of that situation. And that those should be your targets where your best market is. I mean, I have a team where honestly I lost Mixon and David Montgomery on the same team.
Same.
So
I have the same exact situation on a team.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's even an option for us. But, I mean, for me right now, I fired in – I put in as a starter Hunt and James Robinson will be taking their place. So, because I don't really – I don't handcuff a lot. I just have running backs a lot. So there's always another man to throw in there. And that, I don't know, man.
That is how you play.
Rookie rewind, James Robinson, 80% opportunity share last week. That was what his usage was last year. Took, you know, a couple parties for Urban Meyer to get there, but he's finally there. Love to see it.
Very nice, Dave. He loosened up a little bit. Is that what you're saying? He loosened up?
I'm just saying he finally got...
What?
Michael Carter, okay. Of interest this year if you're going to use him a little bit. If not, maybe test the waters and move on from him. Number 8, I like this guy a lot. Kyle Pitts fell down a little bit. Still no touchdown. Tight end 17, 41.4 points, 15 receptions, 26 targets, 189 yards. Mr. Kyle Pitts.
Tight end 17 after 4 weeks, but... 7th most targeted tight end in football, just 5 targets behind Kelsey. I think I really thought this past week was going to be his coming out party. He dropped a touchdown pass right at the goal line. He was targeted in the red zone three times that I saw. I'm sure it was more than that, and Dave can look it up. But he's just missing on opportunities, just missing. So we're going to have like a game very soon, maybe even this coming week, where he just – I could see a two touchdown performance out of him in a game, and then we're all back to where we were. Yeah. I really, truly think that this is less than 3 weeks away.
So this was TJ Hockenson through 4 weeks of his rookie season.
Tweet of the year, by the way. Tweet of the season. I love this tweet from Swags.
11 receptions, 19 targets, 166 yards. And he did have two touchdowns to go with that. But through 4 weeks, a less productive season than that of Pitts at this point. Just no touchdowns for Pitts. So once those get going, I mean, a totally different ball game. Listen, Patterson has been amazing. Such a nice little toy for you guys to have to play with throughout the season. But that's coming to an end at some point this season. You need to move on. I mean, he's done great, 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 great with his opportunities. I don't want to knock it. What a nice, fun little toy. But I mean, what does anybody have that in front of him? What is it like? 29-30% snap share this last week. You know, he's not seeing the field as much as you would think.
Incredibly uber efficient. But guys, breaking news in my Madden franchise, I just signed a big new extension with a different team. And instead of using my top five pick player that I invested a lot in, and I got paid a lot of money to use, I am now going to take the 30-year-old journeyman who hasn't done anything in his career. And I'm going to scheme him up for three touchdowns because I don't want Kyle Pitts to get involved. I want, you know, the 30-year-old journeyman who hasn't found a place in the NFL to just be my star on my offense and not my tight end. So that's just how I draw it up. And that's how that's the key to winning it in Atlanta.
As a rookie, look at the coverage that Kyle Pitts is already taking on some plays, though. Yeah. It's going to come for Kyle Pitts. I'm not concerned a bit. If there's any ease of buy here, I don't know if there quite is, but... Because I've tried to no avail, but man, I want to add more Kyle Pitts to my teams.
Three games of 33% snap share or less for Cordarrelle Patterson, one over 41%, 30% last week, and still managed to be the RB1 overall in fantasy last week on 30% target or a 30% snap share. Mind boggling.
Great matchup too, though. We talked about that. I think we talked about it here, but that was a great matchup. Number nine, Rondale Moore, wide receiver, 49, 43.5 points, three carries, 12 targets, 16 receptions. What happened here? I think it's 16 receptions, 18 targets. Is that right, Dave? 211 yards, one touchdown.
I find it flattering that you think I have his stat line memorized, but it's 211 yards. You're right. And then targets, he's got 18 targets, 16 receptions.
Yeah. Okay. So, man, the catch rate is awesome for Rondale Moore. In a redraft, somebody asked me today, I'm curious how you guys feel about this. Would you start Rondale Moore or in Dynasty, whatever, for this week? Would you start Rondale Moore or AJ Green?
At this point, I'm starting AJ Green. The problem is we're starting to see. You know, we saw the 29% up to 45% snap share in week three. Then it dipped in week three and back up to 40% here. But we can't keep relying until we're seeing more routes run from Rondale. Look, he's been uber efficient and we might miss that blow up game, which like we saw in week two. But AJ Green has what is that 2 or 3 weeks in a row for AJ Green over 100 yards? I think it's 2 weeks in a row over 100 yards after I thought he was dust. So I'm going to roll AJ Green and probably be wrong and it'll be Rondale Moore. But yeah, AJ Green this week to start.
Yeah, I think AJ Green listened to our show after week two, after we kind of called him done, because he's done nothing but prove us wrong. He's out there, Swags, like 86% of the time, and Rondale Moore's out there half of that. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I mean,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he like David said, he's just super efficient when he's out there, and he's gonna earn his time, and it's so great to see, you know, in Dynasty to see that. Really the fourth wide receiver on this team, we could call him, right? Because Kirk has definitely shown up too, mm-hmm. is flashing the way he is. And not only flashing, but he's helping the team matriculate the ball down the field in a very useful way in clutch situations. And that speaks volumes to the player, to the guy he is, the competitor that he is, and it's just a matter of time. And when I say a matter of time, it's probably after AJ Green moves on
that he'll really be useful in fantasy. Sorry, dude.
No, it's good.
Do you guys ever have those situations with your teams where you might play one player if you feel like you need the high ceiling to maybe get the win against a better team, but another player where you might play the low floor for just to be a little bit safer and ease it in? Do you feel like that could be – is there any situation you would play Rondale Moore and AJ Green like that? Where, because Dave, you kind of mentioned like he has that upside, like even just within a couple plays. Like, is there any situation like that where you might play Rondale Moore just to see if you get that upside?
Well, you don't have to use any sweet talk on me to play Rondale Moore. So, but I get what you're trying to say here. No, because AJ Green
already kind of is showing that upside.
Yeah, because there's upside with AJ Green too. Now, I think AJ. It's tough because I think then I say, well, is it just who scores a touchdown? Do you want to roster? Like, is because Rondo's been stopped a couple times on the one and he hasn't scored. Like, what happened? It's a we're talking totally different narrative here. If Rondale punches those in, it's just, and then AJ Green's just scored. So is it just who scores a touchdown too might matter? So yeah. I can't come up, give you a real answer, which I feel kind of like cowardly, but
yeah, but no, it's cool. I think like chicken voodoo, I think we just probably ruined AJ Green.
We might have actually. No, the way to ruin AJ Green is if any sort of rookie prediction involving Rondale Moore, that'll snipe AJ Green.
Yeah. And for the record, Finero goes out and says, oh, AJ Green must have been listening to the show last week. Well, hey, did you listen to any of my stuff or read any of my articles last year, AJ Green, when I basically told you to come to my house and impregnate my wife?
He's a new listener.
Come on,
new
AJ listener. Green.
New listener.
Did you ever send us pictures of your baby?
Give him a break. And you guys need to 5-star review us for the 1-star review that AJ Green just gave us.
Oh, that took David a minute.
But you know what? This is a great time to mention that you guys should go out and 5-star Rookie Fever. Honestly, we get a lot of great reviews when people review us, but I'm sometimes surprised by the lack thereof. So yeah, if you're listening right now, go over and 5-star review us, make up for that 1-star we're getting from AJ Green, and he probably will never listen again.
Well, how about that 1-star last year from Philip Lindsay?
Yeah. We're not going to get one from number 6, Javonte Williams, running back 34, 47.1 points, 46 carries, 186 yards, 1 touchdown, 8 receptions, 9 targets, 50 yards. You guys, please be nice so we can keep Javonte Williams around.
This one still remains. We just talked about Michael Carter kind of carving out his role. This one remains 50-50 every single week.
It does, yeah.
And after every single week goes by, you'll see that Melvin Gordon is going to outsnap Javonte Williams. We got 140 to 119 right now. And so it's going to be like this for a long time. Now, Melvin Gordon is not as young and spry as Williams. So we could see, you know, look at all these running backs dropping out. I don't wish this upon anybody, but, you know, we could see Gordon miss a couple weeks here and there with this, that, or the other thing. And then Williams would have his chance to shine and maybe earn more than that 50% he seems to be getting all season.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, I got a hard question for you. This isn't Rookie Fever trivia.
Because I was about to say, I didn't hear a laser sound.
This week, Javonte Williams or Trey Sermon?
Oh, I haven't gotten to this week yet. Who they?
Yeah, I would need the matchups too, but I think I would probably go Williams.
Honestly, I understand why people are excited about Javonte Williams because he's doing a lot of his damage after he's breaking tackles, evading tackles, and gaining yards after contact, showing you that he has that requisite NFL ability that you want to say, because usually that translates to future fantasy success here. But I'm going Trey Sermon with the idea that Trey Lance is going to unlock that rushing game. And basically I just had to sneak in how much I love Trey Lance. So yeah, I'll go Trey Sermon.
All right. So Javonte Williams is playing the Steelers. Not the best matchup. And San Fran's playing the Eagles, I think. Does that sound right? That's off the top of my head, and I'll find out for you.
Now, I'm going Trey Sermon, too. And, Finero, you kind of made me start thinking of the question when you pointed out the 50-50 on as soon as we went in Javonte Williams versus what we were talking about with Mitchell and Trey Sermon at the top of the top 10 list here. And as soon as you said that, I was like, man, is Trey Sermon a little bit of a safer play right now? I wouldn't trade the two in Dynasty, but if I'm making the play, I don't know. I might feel a little bit better with Trey Sermon, not by a far margin or anything, but.
Yeah, the reason I did or said what I said was I know that Williams will be out there 50% of the time, and I don't know if Sermon will. Like, who knows? Like, that's Mitchell fair. Mitchell might be out there 60, 70% of the time. We really don't know. Anybody who thinks mm-hmm. they know is just making shit up.
You know I love Javonte Williams.
Yeah, so that's the reason I went that way. Sermon does probably have the better matchup playing the Cardinals. Cardinals have a good pass D, but I think their run D is you know, I think, yeah. Slightly better on the Trey Sermon side, I would say, matchup-wise. But yeah. I'm still going Williams because I just know what the workflow is going to be.
I don't hate that. It's probably a safer floor, right? I mean, I think it's safer. But
yeah, I agree.
Number five, Devontae Smith, wide receiver, 39. Just almost squeaking into that wide receiver three area, 47.1 points, 18 receptions, 32 targets, 237 yards, and one touchdown.
After 4 weeks, the most targeted player in this rookie class.
Wow. Even more than Najee Harris, eh?
No. Oh, actually, yes.
No, Harris has 34. Barely.
No, does he? You're right. Damn it. Most targeted wide receiver in this class. He just totally ruined it.
And with he's only made the top
twice, list, right?
Two times, yeah.
Yeah, first and fourth week, I believe.
So the targets are there.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's pretty consistent with the targets, actually. Week one, 8. Week two, 7. Little dip week three was 6. But that was Cowboys game was a mess. And then the Chiefs, which we had all talked about, they were going to have to throw the ball a lot. And they did. 10 targets. 10.
Yeah.
That helped. Just eked over Waddle. Waddle has several targets, as we talked about last week.
Yep. Waddle's done pretty good.
Dave, what do you think about Mr. Devonta Smith? Is he showing you enough? Like, are you starting to feel the love?
Me? Did you say Dave?
I wanted some Dave love first. Mm-hmm.
So
you're harder to win over with Dave the skinny legs thing.
He was my wide receiver. He was my wide receiver three heading into this class, and he's done nothing to disappoint at all. He's been there. Every game has been over 6 targets, which has been exciting for a rookie. First 4 games, all over 6 targets. And I don't do this often, but the eye test is he looks like he belongs in an NFL football field. He's making people miss after he catches the ball. Physicality does not seem to be an issue with him when he's running his routes from these NFL defenders. And he's the clear number one on this Philly offense, which is exciting. And the production has been, when you talk about rookie wide receivers and to get this kind of usage early on, this is the trajectory you want to see from someone who has this kind of draft capital and was the prospect. So this is the upward trajectory of where I expect him to continue to gain dynasty value based on his early season usage.
That is interesting. We may come back to that, Dave. We may maybe come back to that. Number four, Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver, 38. 48 points, 25 receptions, 30 targets, 200 yards, one touchdown for Jaylen Waddle with no Tua.
Yeah. Rookie Fever put a post out and said, you know, which rookie would you wish you used a pick on during your rookie draft? And my answer was Waddle. I own zero Waddle. I ran away from the Tyreek Hill comparisons. I just like completely ran the other direction. I'm like, all right, if everyone thinks this guy's going to be Tyreek Hill, the chances of that are very slim. I'm out. And not a great way to make a decision. But the issue for me was Waddle and Smith were pretty much in every rookie draft neck and neck, and I like Smith a lot more. So I own Smith in those spots and not Waddle.
We've been robbed so far of Waddle because without Tua, we've been robbed. I would love to see what he would look like with Tua in this offense and its true self without Jacoby Brissett. I know he had the 13 targets with Brissett, and still the questions I had last week, Swags, I know we talked about a little bit last week about yet to see the real true playmaking ability from Waddle yet. And that's not fair to say after a down game either, because that's, you know, everyone has down games, but still, regardless, the targets are there. The receptions are there. there's a lot to like about Jalen Waddle's season so far, who I also have zero of, but this is exactly, besides maybe some playmaking, a little bit more explosiveness, playmaking stuff, you have to be happy with what things are, what is the situation has been and how he's persevered. You've got to be happy so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm happy. I'm hoping to see Tua back. I'm hoping that at some point, like I'd like to get past trade deadline and with Miami and see what they actually do, at least for the season. But we'll have to see here. I'm out on Deshaun Watson.
That trade still hurts me, man.
I bet.
The week before any allegations come out, we made that Herbert for Watson.
I traded Watson in like every league the week before that. I only had three shares of the guy, but I somehow luckily got out just because I knew I could get guys I liked and a little extra on top, and that's what I did. And that trade too, Dave, man, you brought this up. You brought this up, Dave.
Oh, I love punishment.
But it also gave you Miles Gaskin, and I took Herbert and Bryan Edwards.
I traded a different trade to get Miles Gaskin.
I
got Salvin Ahmed I got from you.
Hmm. Okay. I believe you. I thought it was, I thought I got Bryan Edwards and Herbert.
You did. You got Bryan, but I got Salvin Ahmed and Watson.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Very.
The next player on the list was the player that Dave and I both mentioned. If anybody saw that Rookie Fever tweet that Finero was just talking about, player that we wish that we had gotten in our rookie drafts that we don't have any of is Kenneth Gainwell, and that he's RB 30, 51.55 points, 19 carries, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns, 17 receptions, 18 targets, 114 yards. Surprised the hell out of me this season with Kenneth Gainwell. I'm curious what our closet Philly fan has to say about Kenneth Gainwell. Longtime listeners know that we are going to the feverish Finero first on this one.
Yeah, so the funny thing is Gainwell is actually just eked in. I guess he's just outside of the RB2 area, where Sanders is even further out of that. But that being said, there's a really freaking wacky game in there versus the Cowboys, which I mentioned earlier, which I'm just throwing out. I think there was three rushing attempts out of all running backs in that entire game, which is just completely silly, where Sanders, after that, to me, it's clearly been his backfield. It doesn't mean that Kenneth Gainwell has not earned even a larger share, more than I thought, but you know, he's 5'8". Barely 200 pounds. He's built to be a complimentary back. That's what he is. I think this coming into the season, the way that Sanders was looked at and where you could get Sanders and the value of Sanders is so low that I think the Gainwell progress that's being made could get overblown a little bit, as far as like, you know, I'm starting to hear like full on committee, 50-50, you know, that all that stuff we were hearing about Boston Scott, who hasn't seen the ball once, is stirring all back up again. And I think that comes from a little bit of Sanders hate, to be quite honest. It doesn't mean I don't like Gainwell. I think Gainwell is he's a complimentary back. That's what he is. And he looks like he might be a good one. That's where I am with Gainwell. And that does surprise me too, Swags. I didn't have him.
You maybe going out to add some Miles Sanders on the team?
I think you can. Yeah, absolutely. I think you absolutely can. Yeah, I am. Absolutely. I think it's also overblown that Gainwell's the only one that's receiving the ball. That's not true either. Right now, I believe I have to look it up, but I think the targets are very similar. I know the receptions are. We have 13 receptions for Gainwell and 11 for Sanders. It's not like Gainwell's the pass catching back and that's it. Sanders is still out there doing that as well. And I think that makes him more valuable. Sanders is out there doing both. Now Gainwell got the touchdown this week, and he got much better numbers, and you know, and that's going to happen from week to week. That could be the thing that suppresses Sanders' value even more, because people are just going to say, okay, now Sanders doesn't have enough volume. Then that is a small fear of mine, but I still think that this is a small sample size, and we're reacting to a week 4.
Yeah,
I could spend 10-15 minutes on this, but I know we don't have time to do it. I will just a quickly abbreviated thing that I talked to Swags off air about, but I was super high on Kenny Gainwell initially in my initial, when I do my initial database search, when I get all my rookies together, all their numbers finally put into the database. I look, Gainwell popped. He had a high carry number, high carry numbers, high receiving numbers. and uber production. It just popped across the board. And those are all things I look for. So he carried the load, can catch. And I listened to Zach Reed tell me that Kenny Gainwell can do back shoulder, was doing back shoulder throws at, out of the wide receiver position at Memphis. So he can catch the ball too. Really super high on him. And then I just missed the boat with the draft capital. It scared me away. Then his dynasty price was a little high too, despite the draft capital. And I didn't register that he just, it was the COVID sit out was the, what dinged him. And then Boston Scott, who played decently last year, was also there. And I think Fenero hit this on the head when he said part of this hype around Kenny Gainwell right now is also fueled by Miles Sanders hate. People are disappointed what Miles Sanders is doing, and that is propping Kenny Gainwell up, who has played well, but it's, some of it's also wrapped into the disappointment that surrounds Miles Sanders, because Gainwell is stealing those valuable touches from Sanders. So really intriguing. I really am very excited to see how this plays out here. Kenny Gainwell has been gained a lot of dynasty value, though, in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, wide receiver 13, Ja'Marr Chase. 71.75 points, one carry for minus 2 yards, and not worth talking about. It shouldn't even be in here. 17 receptions, 25 targets, 297 yards, and 4 touchdowns through 4 weeks.
Little perspective, Swags. Last year, CeeDee Lamb at this point was wide receiver 17. CeeDee Lamb was wide receiver 17 through 4 weeks. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 13. Has something to do with those touchdowns.
How many drops did CeeDee Lamb have through the first 4 weeks last year? And how many drops did Ja'Marr? Oh, right. That's right. Drops.
I don't have drops. But
no, I'm just messing.
309 yards. He only had 2 touchdowns. So at that point, Lamb did have 2 less touchdowns. He did better with his carries, though.
Imagine if there weren't stripes on the football.
Oh, gosh. That was a terrible quotation from.
I know. So many of those this year.
Yeah. And it's really interesting too, Fenero, if you look at those classes, as I can tell you have a little bit, you look at as somebody, like you look at that class and where we're talking about Devontae Smith, for example, and you in that class, you can go to like 7 or 8 and you're getting like those similar points from like LaVisca Chenault and those guys, just from the last classes being so much deeper, honestly. It just goes to show you the difference in this class. I mean, we're getting some studs, some fun guys to talk about, but we've seen better. It's really interesting when you go back and look at some of the historical data.
Yeah, Rondale Moore, wide receiver 49, as you said. T. Higgins was wide receiver 45 this time of year, and Ayuk was 51.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you another little more perspective and relevance on through 4 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Number one, we get to number one and we're almost to these quarterbacks. Najee Harris, running back 4, 90.5 points, 55 carries, 185 yards, 1 touchdown, 26 receptions, 34 targets, another 178 yards, and another touchdown.
And you know what, Swags? More targets than any rookie in this class.
Are you sure?
I was going to say. So, Najee Harris, I mean, what's not to be excited about? Maybe the quarterback and the offensive line, but by all means, he's running back 4, doing great.
This time last year, James Robinson was RB6. He had 285 rushing yards, though, 100 more than Najee Harris, with 161 receiving yards. So a little comparable. I did a all-purpose yards comparison. Robinson had 446 all-purpose yards through 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And Harris has 363.
Still really good.
Yeah.
Still really good.
I think I'm... Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Rookie fever trivia. Are you guys ready for this? Question number 2. You guys just raise your hand, yell, throw it out there if you think you knew it, know it. Maybe you knew it. Maybe you don't anymore. Who was rookie number 1 from 2019 through the first 4 weeks? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Look at me, Fenero. Eyes on me.
Yeah, I got you. 19.
What class that was.
19. I know. 2019. I'm going through it myself.
The Josh first Jacobs? 4 weeks.
Josh Jacobs. Oh,
that's a good guess.
Fenero, do you have a guess?
I'm blanking on this.
It was not Josh Jacobs.
It was Miles Sanders.
It was not Miles Sanders.
No, he didn't do anything to the second half, yeah.
Miles Sanders wasn't even in the top 10 at this point. To be completely fair, the number one rookie through the first 4 weeks of 2019 was Hollywood Brown.
What?
He at that point was wide receiver 14, doing much better than another small receiver named Devontae Smith. He had 18 receptions, 34 targets, 304 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was making it rain.
40 points came from one game, though. That was like a 40-point game.
Devonta Smith has made the top 12 from 2 weeks, though, and then being out of it another 2 weeks. But it was Hollywood Brown. How far he has fallen from the graces. Number three was Josh Jacobs. Two was Terry McLaurin.
Mm.
DK Metcalf was like 8 or 9, 10 at that point, 10.
I bet A.J. Brown wasn't even in the top 10, so...
AJ Brown was number four.
Season. Really?
Through 4 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't take much.
He was wide receiver 42 to that point. Moving along to the quarterbacks. Hollywood Brown tearing it up. Wonder what happens with Hollywood with Bateman back. So we already hit on Justin Fields quite a bit.
Yes, we did.
Where do you guys want to go with this?
Might as well start with that big game in New England. I thought it was very, very interesting that everything was about Tom Brady, obviously, and Bill Belichick, and Mac Jones was the forgotten man. Mac Jones just did his job back there. Calm, cool, collected. I think he's just as advertised. Short, efficient passes, accurate. He didn't let this whole moment shake him. I don't know. I think Mac Jones is making really good decisions back there. Could he be more explosive? Sure. Get vertical would be nice. But look at his offense. Look at those wide receivers. Is that really Mac Jones' fault after 4 weeks? I mean, everybody was talking about
Myers is doing pretty good.
Yeah, everybody was talking about this matchup between Tom Brady and his old team. And look at Tom Brady's team. Wide receivers that Tom Brady has. It's an
all-star team.
It's an all-star team. And Mac Jones has a bunch of scrubs.
No, you're
and,
right.
And he went out there and he held his own.
No, even go back to what you're saying, though, even about the pressure of going back up against Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback of the last 20 years, and then having to go out there with that pressure. Tom Brady's beating the record. A lot's going on. And like you said, I mean, Mac Jones had a really nice little efficient game here.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if Mac Jones had Waddle and Devonta Smith like he did in Alabama.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had those wide receivers. Like, I don't know. I think I like what I've seen from him. I know it's not sexy, but I'm going to say he's capable of that. I don't know what he's capable
he's
of.
He's on pace for 4,000 yards plus.
Wow.
You know, wait. So
he hasn't looked like Patrick Mahomes through the first 4 weeks of his rookie season?
Not yet, Dave.
What? Oh, he sucks. God. Oh, you mean he's doing what the Josh McDaniels' offense has been for years that's what the offense has been. Take the first downs, take the open, do the right read. Don't force interceptions. You mean that's what he's doing? Oh, okay. Good for you, Mac Jones. You've been impressive, completing the ball, not turning it over a lot. Yeah, not a lot of touchdowns here, but it's been good.
You know what else he hasn't had that Tom Brady had in his time in New England besides the wide receivers? They don't really have a good running game or a consistent running game right now. I mean, it's really tough to beat Mac Jones in New England right now. And he's not looked bad. He's looked efficient. He's looked, you know, I don't want to use the game manager because that always comes off as a negative thing, but he's done what he's supposed to do in that system just through 4 weeks. He's looked good. He's really has.
Fenero's got me all jittery because he's got me going off the spreadsheets here. No other quarterback in this class. We talk about how much I love Trey Lance or how much, you know, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, how great he is, or Trevor Lawrence, the chosen one in Trevor Lawrence. None of them have had to deal with replacing the greatest of all time. Nobody has had to deal with that legacy, or even Cam Newton for that matter, dealing with one of the more popular quarterbacks of the last 5 to 8 years. That's what that's what Mac Jones has had to deal with just from a culture standpoint. Yeah. And then one of the big, it's been billed one of the biggest Sunday night football games in recent history. He goes in there and does that in the rain.
Yeah.
In prime time with those weapons. I'm sorry. You've got to be excited.
Swag said earlier, he's like, oh, you know, maybe Justin Fields will be even better if his psyche is now improved by finding out he's the real starter. You know, I mean, like if we're talking about that with quarterbacks, look at all the challenges Mac Jones has had to face, you know, including that game he just came off of and everything that David just mentioned and the lack of offensive weapons. Like, how can that damage a psyche? Like, that should have shut him down. That should have made him suck, at least for a couple games. He got
the job, though, right away.
Yeah, no, that's the one. That's the one thing he does have.
Moved on.
Yeah, that's the one thing he does have.
With the better organization, you know, which I think is something that helps a young rookie quarterback, which is a reason that I think I'm attached to so much Mac Jones, to be honest with you.
1 foot away from beating Tom Brady in Foxborough on primetime. It clanked off the upright. He was about to do a 2-minute drive and do it. He did it. He did what he had to do. So I think people need to really consider what their expectations were and what to expect from this rookie quarterback. This is, people would be dying for Sam Darnold to do this his rookie season. They would freaking, come on, you kidding me? They would be begging Sam Darnold to do this. And that's what Mac Jones is giving us right now.
Yeah. And I mean, even a lot of these too, because I mean, you look at Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, and we talk about this a lot on Rookie Fever, but if you're a 101 quarterback, that means your team sucked last year. And that's the team that you're going into. And Urban Meyer hasn't helped Trevor Lawrence at all. If anything, Trevor Lawrence is probably the quarterback from this class that I'm the most worried about. And I'll end with this, as long as Urban Meyer is there. And I don't know how much longer he'll be there, to be completely honest with you. But I don't know. I'm concerned about Trevor Lawrence.
He had the chance. It was an organization, Chad Kahn, or I forget exactly how to pronounce his name. He had the chance to say, hey, we just invested a ton in Trevor Lawrence. We've got some weapons here. We don't want this shenanigans in our freaking organization. This has been a joke so far. He could have just kicked him to the curb and just give him a fresh, clean slate.
Seriously.
And he didn't. So I think that is troubling now to Trevor Lawrence to be able to do what he has done with the ineptitude of what Urban Meyer has, because he's been inept. This has been pathetic. And to be able to do what he has done, I can see why you could be worried, Swags, but I'm going to turn it on its head and say he's actually not doing bad for considering how dumbfounding Urban Meyer has been.
Yeah.
And I think also I do see improvements with Trevor Lawrence. I do know that he came off of, I think both the Broncos and the Cardinal games were pretty tough matchups. Lost Chark this past week versus the Bengals. We talked about the Bengals maybe being a little better than we thought they were, especially in against the pass. So I'm not worried about Trevor Lawrence, but I do hear what you're saying, Swags, as far as like Urban Meyer. That doesn't seem, I saw a tweet and I'll try to find it for you guys, but it was like 20 examples long about all the things that have happened since Urban Meyer has been a coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was it was a long list, and B, it wasn't one of those lists that you see where somebody just hates a guy and they're just piling on. These were like legitimate bad decisions.
Yeah.
And he's 4 games into his first season.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He hasn't been the coach that long.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Gardner Minshew's reps, first team reps, are really doing a lot of good for Trevor Lawrence right now.
That was one of the things on the list.
I saw the tweet, so that's
you
fine.
Saw that, right? Yeah, one of the things on the list is having a guy steal precious offseason snaps and getting rid of him immediately. That guy that was quote unquote competing for the job. That's horrible. Like that's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people really hated that first round pick. They had James Robinson already. And they get ETN. Like there's a lot of, Jacksonville needs a lot of different things. Maybe running back wasn't one of them.
And then you look now how good James Robinson is doing again
in that
poor situation and question it even more.
Yeah. A lot of bad decisions over there. So I hear you. But I think Trevor Lawrence is good enough where he can get past this. And if Urban Meyer wants to keep adding to that list of 20 I'm talking about and add another, let's see, he's on pace for, what, 100 of these by the end of the season? Maybe he just gets canned.
Yeah, I think he's the one that I'm least interested in, though, just maybe at the price point, to be fair. And I'm not rooting against him or anything like that, but I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
First round Superflex value in overall startups this offseason. First round. I'm curious where he would go right now and people where he'd take him. Did he fall two rounds? Because I wouldn't mind buying that kind of dip. It's tough to buy a dip in the third round, but I just think there's been I would be shocked if people are taking him the first round still.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree. So we talked about Justin Fields starting this week. Trey Lance will also start this week, it's sounding like, with Jimmy G out. I'm guessing once that happens moving forward, we're probably not going to see Jimmy G back in the game, right?
Does anyone think that Jimmy G is actually hurt? I don't know. This is starting to feel mysterious to me. Like, I don't even know. Like, did anyone see the injury?
If he wasn't hurt, pretty cowardly from Kyle Shanahan to do that. That's a cowardly. Well, I wouldn't want to follow that guy. Look at the stuff
that Shanahan's done all season, though. I'm waiting till like one of these players like starts asking for a trade, be it Brandon Ayuk or Jimmy G or somebody, and then I think we'll really kind of get a sense of if there's turmoil within there or if the players understand a plan.
There hasn't been a plan so far, I'll tell you that much. The plan, it's been bad.
Yeah, I agree, but I would say that Brandon Ayuk hasn't complained much, and I feel like I'd love to hear him chirp a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So
I got a sense from the two of you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if Trey Lance does start this week, and it does look that way, that you both think there's an improvement in the run game? Is that true? And then the second question would be, is there an improvement or quite the opposite in the passing game?
I think that it will stay very similar, one-dimensional, a lot of Debo, and I think that it will help the run game.
Definitely think it's not – I think Kittle's going to be – it'd be stupid for Lance not to keep using – to try to get Kittle more involved in those, because Kittle has the low A dot, Debo has the low A dot. This doesn't seem to help Brandon Ayuk a lot, first off. But I just had to get this out. I love the stat. In one half of play, the raw player that nobody said shouldn't be playing in one half of play has scored more fantasy points in that one half than any other rookie quarterback has done in a single game this season. It took him only half a play to do for Trey Lance to score those 20-plus fantasy points, and no other quarterback has done that in fantasy in a whole game. So that just shows you the value of this rushing that Trey Lance offers here, and it's going to just open everything up more. I am excited to see what Trey Lance can do.
Think like again, RG3, Alfred Morris, Pierre Garçon, and Jordan Reed, but with some of those players being better, obviously at this point. Like, I'd take Debo over Garçon at the time. I'd take, well, Sermon and Morris might actually be kind of close with, but will do well in their situations.
And to your point, Dave, QB 16 with only half play.
Wow.
Yeah. I think this is, I know everyone has been really excited about Justin Fields here, but I think Trey Lance might have more fantasy points on the season in that. Well, actually, that's not because Trey Lance has scored a couple of touchdowns here in random spots, but in that one half, he might have more points than at least, I think he might have more points overall in the season than Justin Fields has in that one half. It's close. 1 point difference in that one half.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty damn exciting. So let's get to Zach Wilson. Get out of these darn quarterbacks.
It's the best the O-line has looked all season. That's promising. And because of that, it's the best Wilson has looked all season. So, yeah, I mean,
I think Zach Wilson looks pretty decent, too.
I was just about to say, I'm attaching him to the O-line in that statement. I want to detach him from the O-line for a second. Even if the O-line doesn't show up for him, you still see him extend plays, create plays, and that's all Zach Wilson. But obviously, if we want to get excited about Elijah Moore, if we want to get excited about Zach Wilson, we need that O-line to play a little better. And that's a long play. But the fact that we saw it get a little better might mean something. Sometimes a team needs like half a season to start to gel. So I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. And that deep ball, Dave, is nice.
Just shy of 300 yards last week. I mean, he
has a high ceiling with that deep ball, Dave.
through 3 weeks, he had put together some of the worst quarterback play we've seen from a rookie. I went back in my database. I looked at some of the weekly performances. Negative 21 expected points added in week two against the Patriots. That one of the worst statistical showings I've seen from a rookie quarterback. Luckily, Davis Mills is trying to make us forget about that with his play, too. I know we're not going to talk about him, but oh my God, has he been bad. But then in week four, the poise, I think despite all of this, you were seeing some composure from Zach Wilson. He looks like he fits the bill. I think, yeah, he's making some turnovers, making some bad plays, and making some goofs, but he looks the part on the NFL. He doesn't look like he's over. I don't know. I'm just been pleased with his composure and his demeanor on the football field. And especially even though he's taking his lumps, it was fun to see them go get that win in week four. And I'm not, a Pats fan. I don't root for the Jets by any means, but it was fun to go see them get that W and Zach Wilson, how good he played to get it. Because he was a big reason why they got that win.
Yep. I agree. Two 20 plus point games out of four. The week two and week three were pretty abysmal, like you said, but week one was also a pretty decent week.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, man.
Week four, Finero got sick of being the bottom feeder, finally put some points on the board for our rookie predictions in
picking
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who finished fourth in our rookies on the season. And then he also had Devontae Smith, who finished third, so he got plus 11, plus 10.
Damn.
For a plus 21, took Finero from negative 74 to negative 53. It's pretty good.
I did need that. I'm going to need about four more of those weeks. So it's
pretty
good.
It's pretty good. We'll save me for last because it was awful. I couldn't have done worse this week. The funny thing is, Dave, like when, because you and I both had some 25 players, which was the lowest you could have this week. And Dave had that with Chris Evans that got him negative 13. I've seen it in even this season where we would get a zero and be as much as negative 18. And I think that that's what happened to Feverish last week. So just because of where they start to collect zero at and more rookies did lousy this week, it actually helped Dave and I. Dave a little bit more than me. So we had Chris Evans who didn't play. Maybe we'll see some more Chris Evans with Mixon out. We'll see, but got a negative 13 for Dave there. And then with Larry Roundtree was actually rookie 14. So only negative two, almost squeezed in, put Dave negative 15 for the week. Dave is still kicking our butts.
Yeah, he is.
With positive five. As crazy as it sounds. So he went from 20 to 5. It did hurt him quite a bit. But like I said, Finero is negative 53. I'm coming in at negative 50 at this point. I had Rashad Bateman, who ended up not playing. He got me a negative 13, like I just said, with Dave on Chris Evans. And then Ramondre Stevenson, with also negative 13, got me negative 26. Took me to negative 50 for the week, just behind Feverish. I'm last place on the week. My first time picking first of the season. I don't want to waste it. I don't know what these guys are doing, what they're thinking. Players I cannot choose from last week's list, and they cannot choose as well. Our last week's top 12, I'm sorry. Rondale Moore, Javonte Williams, Kyle Pitts, Chuba Hubbard, Trey Sermon, above Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Jamar Chase, Michael Carter also above Trey Sermon and Javonte Williams. It's kind of interesting, man. These might be some plays, really, if you're missing some of those running backs this week. Kadarius Toney was number 5. Sorry, Jamar Chase, 6. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number 4. Devontae Smith was number 3. Then number 2, Kenneth Gainwell. Number 1, Najee Harris, just killing it all year. Also excluded from this week is Jalen Waddle, Terrace Marshall, Pat Freiermuth. I cannot use Bateman or Stevenson. Dave cannot use Roundtree or Chris Evans. First player I am going to pick, Khalil Herbert. Do I say that right?
Khalil Herbert.
I'll never say that right.
Of the Bears.
Yep. I'm just thinking maybe he gets a little play. Maybe we're a little too excited about Damian Williams. Maybe we're picking the wrong guy in Damian Williams. I'm taking Herbert and hopefully.
He got a little banged up too, so who knows, right? He was a little banged up in that game.
Yeah, I think he's going to – I think he's fine now. I think it was the contusion.
I'm not doing so good. I know that, but I am – that this is the direction I am going this week for my first pick. And then I'm hoping that you guys don't take all of my other guys.
I'll take one. Yeah. Dave, are you up next?
I am up next. It's weird not picking last. Just odd.
Stop. Jeez, Dave. Jeez. Fucker.
I don't want this to get to Finero here. I'm going to take Rashad Bateman. Okay. I feel like that's the a lot of positive talk that he'll play this week. Lamar Jackson has actually his best passing season to date as far as his actual passing efficiency, even better than his MVP season. So that's something that I'm excited to see happen in Baltimore.
Finero, before you pick.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I've already jotted my guy down. I'd like to keep him there.
Okay. Well, I didn't look. I don't have the sheet in front of me at the moment.
It's not on the sheet, but I put it on my sheet. It's on my sheet.
All right. It's on your sheet? Excellent. So Bateman was no. Bateman was my second pick. So I at my second pick overall. So my first pick overall was given to me with the third pick, which is Elijah Moore, who is guaranteed, in my opinion, an opportunity. I think he averages 6 targets a game. He is cleared to practice. Elijah Moore has been cleared 8 hours before now, I believe, like some point earlier today to clear to play.
I think it was 9 hours.
9 hours ago. Sorry. So I tried to pull Elijah Moore last week. These two gentlemen were nice enough to tell me, hey, dude, don't do it. We don't think he's playing. For that reason, I was able to sneak in Amon Ra. I'll go Elijah Moore.
Should have taken him over Bateman last week.
Elijah Moore, please.
So the player that I had actually already put on my piece of paper was Diami Brown.
When I played him, he was inactive.
Man, I'm hoping it's his week, man. I don't think we're going to see Curtis Samuel. I'm almost positive, actually. I know Brown hasn't done much, but with a short list of players that I have to work with here, I think he's one of those, you know, he's a play away from making it into the top 12 here.
And I'm shocked that my player has fallen back to me. I thought for sure Finero was going to take him. Mm. And then I thought Swags had written him down, Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, that was my next one.
I'm very excited to get that. Now, who knows? It could be a Trey Sermon week, but where we're looking here for available players, who else I have available here? I'm telling you, I was looking at like Tommy Hudson for Tennessee here. Like my options were not great.
Don't give me any ideas.
Maybe I'm trying to have a seed here.
I still have a pick.
I know that. Maybe I'm trying to throw a little drop of seed in there for you.
Yeah. So this sucks.
Finero, I'll pick your. We were supposed to let Twitter pick for you.
No, we're not. That was a thing that you guys were poking fun. You're poking the bear. That's not a thing. Like no one agreed.
Man. That was you.
No
guys
one. No
fun.
No one agreed to that. No one agreed.
Show.
I make my own picks. It's my show.
Stop poking the fun.
I listened back. I actually thought that Twitter did because I saw that Finero did so well. I thought Twitter did pick these picks for him last week.
Stop poking the fun.
All right. So I'm just going to go upside of a touchdown. And I'm going to look for a repeat performance from Tommy Tremble.
Tommy Tremble.
Yeah, make sure to put crickets in when you edit, because my God.
Finero, Dave, it is time for another Rookie Fever trivia question. Through the first 4 weeks of 2021, how many rookies have only made the top 12 one time?
6.
Mr. Dave, who's not making eye contact with us.
I think.
No, I'm just thinking.
Dave passed out.
Oh, he's checking out his other
spreadsheet. No, I'm literally thinking.
Where his spreadsheet is. That's where it is.
No, it's on this side. This is the spreadsheet over this side. God, I don't know.
Just pick a number.
The number is 6.
10.
Oh. Finero nailed it on the dot. Dave, for the win, name every one of those 10.
Kadarius Toney,
yes,
is definitely one.
Yep.
Tremble's one.
Tony Finero,
Tremble. Look at me. Look at me.
I need names. It's hard to do without like.
Oh, Dimitri Felton is definitely on there.
Good job. Amon Ra St. Brown.
Wait, is Sermon only been on once?
Sermon's been on twice.
Damn it.
Elijah Moore?
Freiermuth.
Freiermuth has been on twice.
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore, no.
Has Elijah Moore never made it?
He's never made it.
Oh, well, that's about to change.
Is he this year's Henry Ruggs?
Larry Roundtree.
Stop.
Last two are Larry Roundtree and Anthony Schwartz.
Oh, Anthony. I almost picked Anthony this week.
Oh, Anthony.
But his dude, Anthony's only out there 19% of the time right now with OBJ bat.
Yeah, we are at Rookie Fever. We apologize about this long show.
What the hell?
I talked way too much.
Maybe I'll try to find a way to split it. I don't know. That was his work. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtBarkTV and at FF underscore Spaceman. We are at Rookie Fever in the Twitterverse. 5-star review this bitch, and we are out.
I could have gone for another hour. Me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gone on a treat you ride. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scout and he's never done this stupid throw and run? I told you anyone, size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal, wait, what's his breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.